Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
That means because of this, hallelujah, because we are the sons of God, the world does not know us because it did not know Jesus. Hallelujah. Please keep the scripture up. This is amazing. Now, I've read the scripture, but it's amazing every time you come to, you know, God's presence with an open mind, how the scriptures just seem to open up. Look at that scripture. The Bible says, for you to be called a son of God is the highest manifestation of the love of God being revealed to a man or to a woman. Now, this son of God is not gender-based. All right? It is not male-female. This is a status. To be a son in the Jewish days has to do with status, not necessarily gender. So when you are referred to as a firstborn son, what they are saying is this is the son of inheritance. It's not necessarily because he's male. It's a status. So the scripture says unto us a child is born, but unto us what? A son is given. So sons are given. They are not born. Alright? You may grow up in a house and then grow up to become a son. Meanwhile, you may have a son in that house who may be a bastard. Not by virtue of birth, but by virtue of lifestyle and decision. Alright? And that's why the book of Hebrews talks a lot about the subject of bastards. You know, how God helps us by what? Chastising us. Hallelujah. God chastises us so that we will not be bastards. You know, when you come to Christ, when you are to come into a new level in your relationship with God, God wants us to be open to growth. Don't say this is the way I am. Just 3 months of serious and consistent work with God can change your life in very dramatic ways. If you are somebody that is given to anger, 3 months of waiting with the Lord can do a lot, can bring a lot of changes. Because just by walking by faith, walking with the Lord by faith, and allowing the scriptures to guide your feet, you will now realize that anger only rests in the bosom of fools. It is not a quotable quote. It is the word of the Lord. That it is one thing for anger to fly over your head. It is one thing, another thing for you to be angry. But when anger now takes residence in your mind, such that 3 days, 4 days, you are vengeful, and you are looking for how to retaliate, and you cannot say you are sorry, because as far as you are concerned, you are the one that needs to be apologized to. Then the Lord says what? He says, anger only rests in the bosom of fools, which means that person is a fool. It's a fool not because he does not have understanding, but because in spite of the understanding, he has chosen to maintain a stance that is contrary to the mind of God. Please say, Lord, help me. Now, these things are easy to say. And that is why no one can be a Christian in the power of the flesh. You cannot be a Christian. It actually does not make sense to be a Christian. It does not make sense at all. Because the life of a Christian is a selfless life. It's a life of faith. Because many times the walking with the Lord involves waiting on the Lord. Please hear what I said. Walking with the Lord involves what? Waiting on the Lord. It means certain things you cannot do because you are waiting on the Lord. Not because you don't have an idea what you can do, but you are waiting on the Lord because of the seriousness of that type of decision. So the scripture says here that what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, for you to understand the weight of this scripture, You need to go back and review at what point were we before we fell from grace, and then the heavens have now declared that this manner of love is magnanimous. We've not seen it before. Because God has a lot of angels in the heavens, but to which of them did he say, sit at my right hand? None. But you, the son of Adam, you, the son of Eve, your generation, Adam did not just sin. He sinned with the entire human race. You see? He sinned with the entire human race. So we were rejected from the womb. We were rejected. Even before you were born, your name is in the book of death. And then you come to Christ, and the scripture says, what manner of love? Ah, it seems as though God is being unfair somewhere. But you see, if God was not a magnanimous God who loves to lavish his love, then he would not be different from man. You see, you need to understand that in the Christian faith, the first doctrine you must be established in when you come to Christ is the love of God for you. It is on the love of God that every other doctrine finds accurate expression. All right? In fact, the subject of love is so profound that it is weighted way above the gift of the Spirit. Now, if somebody was a pastor and maybe like in this church now, and every time you ask Pastor Tokwe to preach, he would just say, this morning I want to talk to you about the love of God. I know God loves me. Tell me how to deal with my enemies. Eh? War first, then love next. War later. You may just say, let's just listen to Pastor Tokwe. Or if Pastor David comes up. Or if I even come up and for the next 3 months, all I'm teaching is, there was a time in this church we did an extensive series on love. We called it the Love Series. It's on the website. You know, you say, like Pastor Gwinga doesn't have anointing again. This one that is just preaching love, love, love. And after this wealth and wisdom says, I'm coming back to talk about love. So get ready. If you have an aversion for hugs and love, just go and get ready. I will give you notice ahead that this season now is a season of love. So that period when we come, people will beg each other. People will apologize. People will start loving. You will just wake up with love for your enemy. But that is the love of the Father. The love, you see, the moment Adam sinned against God, he became a son of Satan. Disobedience makes one a servant of sin, a servant of Satan. It was not just about disobeying God. It was that what? He became a son and a product, a protege of Satan. So if God rejected Satan, why is he bestowing his love on the sons of Satan? Jesus referred to the Pharisees. He said, you are of your father, the devil. Because somebody is asking, how can everybody born into the world? Yes, you are born into the world, a child of Satan. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. And how you will know is that the desire of your father, you always want to do. How many of you can relate to that? That sometimes you just want to sin. Not because you want to sin, but the way your body is doing you. Like God should give you, just give me 30 minutes. Let me be free. Who knows that feeling? Somebody like, but this Bible, is it not too strict? Is it not too strict? You know, so I feel you. I can relate with you. But that's why I told you that you cannot be a servant of Christ without an understanding of the love of God. So you will now understand that, for instance, if I waited till I'm 32, 33, 34, before I finally got married, I should not marry anyhow. Because now, the stake is high. Because right now, I have journeyed with God. You should not get married and you are the one telling your husband, let's go to church. Come on, say God forbid. You should not be the one telling your husband, let's rest at home today. We'll join online. Because you are supposed to be the matured one. Huh? This matter of love is at the root of everything in the life of a Christian. Because many times, it may not be convenient. It may not be convenient to walk in love or to try or seem to obey God. And that's why we must look at love, not first from our own definition, but from how God looks at it towards us. And how does God describe that love? He says, what manner of love this is that what? That he has lavished upon us. Give me that scripture. That he has lavished upon us by calling us his sons. And because we are his sons, the world does not recognize us. They don't know why we are selfless. They don't know why we have chosen to love and to help and to be a blessing to others. Oh, my sister, when you choose to live this kind of life, you will be hurt many times. Many times. And I have stories I can tell you. But the stories should only be a motivation. There was somebody I allowed to stay in my house. I stayed in my house for like close to a year. Then the person got his place and used a text message to tell me he has moved. You understand? I'm like, wow. Is that how people move on? Anyway, I called him. I said, well, I hope you will not have the problem in the future that will require my anointing. Because I will also use text message to tell you that Mutilo. Now, for me not to respond in that way, I will need the love of God. But when somebody stays, when you stay in my house, I don't allow you to buy food for me. I mean, you are eating my food. You are not paying bills. And you rented a house, you know. I'm just telling you that your love will be tested. Because the problem is not that you say you love, though. The problem is that you say this love emanates from the love of Christ. So just the same way Jesus was tested, your own love will be tested. And may I say to you, if you are married, or you are planning to get married, that a time will come in your marriage when agape will be the only thing sustaining that home. I know some of you don't agree now. You believe that the first 10 years of your marriage, 15, like we have kids, so I don't want to say something. Like, I will be changing every day. He will see another version of me today. He will see another version of me tomorrow. He will know that I can be a prayer warrior and I can also be a slave queen. Well, there are things that don't encourage being a slave queen, like bills. Bills. When your husband travels and they bring the bill to you, okay, uncle is not at home. This is the bill. And you say, oh, this is what he pays. Oh, you pay like 50,000. So this light, you know, Pastor David, I don't know about you. Do you go around turning off lights in the house? I thought I'm the only one. why are all these lights on? My kids are here. Like, I threatened to remove the fan from their room because they just left the thing running. Restroom, there, they leave the lights on. And kitchen. You know? So when you, sometimes people don't know because they're not the one paying. Some people, they were born to enjoy this life. Not to pay bills. But there are things that can remove the slayness from your queen. That's why you find that, you know, most men who are really working well, they don't go to the gym. They have things to do. I really don't know you are looking for at the gym. As a young man, if not that you want to backslide, what are you looking for? If you see any pastor there, we should start a gym for Christians, because you go there and you dance to secular music, you say it's just for the, it's a lie. A lie. You went there, you memorized the song, you did everything. And as pastor, I don't know, for like three months now, I can't pray. You can't pray now, will you pray? Where have you been? You've been going to this place for the last 3 months. Every day. Meanwhile, I cannot come to church every day. Because now you paid 40,000. So you must use your money. But you do not know that this manner of love, somebody paid for it. Hallelujah. Come on, say I repent. So the love of God is robust, is lavish, and it is interesting and very comforting to know that God does not relate to us based on the way we love him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody did not get that one. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. 1 John 4, 18 and 19. Let's look at that very quickly, just to back up this point. 1 John 4, 18 and 19. The love of God is robust. And one of my desires from this message is to encourage many of you to run back to God. Many of you are trying to restore your prayer life. It is not in trying. It is in the revelation of God's love. Did you hear me now? Trying to pray. Don't worry. You see, what keeps people consistent is understanding. There's something you know that just brings you to God. You are not, you understand who he is. It's not, you understand the nature of his love for you. It's not, you are not trying to prove a point by praying 1 hour. It is now your desire because you have an understanding. Alright, when I was working in the bank, there are certain processes that I must run every morning for my team. If not, they cannot work. I don't know how they do it these days. As the head of my team, when everybody logs into their system, they will not be able to attend to any client until I log in and issue a command. Then their profiles will be released. Their profiles will be released and then they will now be able to work. They will see the updated. They will see that the date on their system has changed. Alright? But if you don't, you will log in, you will be seeing yesterday's date. Which means if you try to do a transaction, you will have issues. Because by the time we now change the date on the system to today, that transaction is hanging somewhere, you are going to get a query. So there's this thing about checking in with God. It's not just God. Even man does it. Even man does it. I tell my folks when I was working in the bank, when you come to the office, check your environment. First thing. Check your environment. Check your drawers. Check your cubicles. Is there any money lying on the ground? Because auditors could just come in with you. And they find stuff. Customers' checkbook or check leaf on the desk. Maybe you forgot it. And those things are serious offenses. Because the bank thrives on one thing. It's called security. You know? There was a time I had an issue and I left foreign currency in a machine. And for 3 weeks, nobody saw it. 3 weeks that I got a query for. I went on leave. Then somebody mistakenly went to the machine and found the money stuck inside. So, but you know, it was good I was not even there when they found it, because when they gave me a query, I just said, well, I didn't take the money. The money is not missing, but we can't find it. And by God's grace, we'll find it. So when they found the money after I had gone on leave, it proved my point. But you know that it was a serious, the fact that they even found it now became another issue for me. There is always this idea of seeking God every day is like checking in. Checking in. There might be just something here or there that God will tell you, okay, today, this is how we are going to run. We will not start with A, we will start with B. If you don't just assume the way it happened yesterday, it's the way God is going to relate with you. God, the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Sometimes we just figure God out in our mind and we run into problems. Give me that scripture. First, John 4:18. It says there's no fear in love, but perfect love. What does it do? It casts out fear. See why I say I bind every spirit and they are not listening. Can you see it? The root of deliverance ministry is in the love of God. This is not even that you are anointed. This is that you are a Christian who puts himself in an environment of divine love. When you say, come out, you foul spirit, why do you want that demon to come out? Is it because you want the person to be free, or you want to say that you are anointed? You know how many testimonies we cannot share publicly? It says, because fear has torment. He that fears is not what? Perfect in love. Give me the next verse. He says, we love him because what? He first loved us. You don't, this thing that we sometimes you go online, you see the narrative. It's like people are trying to make God look relevant. Everybody is trying to make their God look relevant. Oh, rep your faith. This post is not about, it's about religious tolerance. Rep your faith. Okay, rep the name of your church. Rep the name of your, you see some of those posts online. Or your part. Somebody, people have tagged me. Some people saw the thing, they did not tag me. It's okay, no problem. But that's not the issue. That's not the issue. This love that you are claiming, God is saying it did not even originate from you. The reason why you woke up and felt, I love Jesus, was because God did a work in your heart. Have you ever tried to backslide and you noticed you could not go back for long and you came back? You brought yourself back. Please wave to me. I need to, some of you have never backslidden your, like, I'm saying you just felt like, okay, I need a break. Eh? And you took yourself, walked away. Then after you stayed 2 weeks, so God, carry yourself back to, just take yourself now. And you brought yourself back to church, brought yourself back. You now, even you got to God's presence, you could not pray. I don't know. Because you knew why you left. It was not the devil, it was you. Making a decision for Ifoma. Now, your eyes have cleared. Say, Oga, why tarry here till you die? Pack your load now and go back to Maryland. Just pack, don't pray, just pack your load. And then you brought yourself back. You now look back. Why couldn't I just be in the world for 6 months? And that is what God does in your heart too. When you say you are in him and he thinks like you feel God is not doing something in your life. God is texturing your heart such that even when you want to go back to the world, you are not comfortable again. Even as you are committed, as you say, this is not you. Are you here now? You are doing this. You know you've passed this level. Your mind will be trying to talk to you. Let me commit this sin first. Let me commit this sin first. This is a point of no return. Meanwhile, a quiet voice will be saying, but you know this is not you. Eh? You are telling this guy you love him. You know this is not you. You know you are just his cruise. He's not, there's nothing here. Eh? Carry yourself. Go back. Your father is waiting. So that experience, if you have not learned to build a love relationship with God, you can't have it. And this is, there's, you know, in IT, when you turn on your system, before you get to the screen where you input your password, a lot of background processes have been running. And sometimes some of you are even trying to escape. The way some people escaped until their destiny escaped. You understand? Some people don't want the system to boot. Just turn it on and let it come up. The same way some people cannot wait for God. You see? So by the point where you input your password, at Harvest World 2072. By the time, if you like, go and try it. It will not work. By the time you input that password, several processes have been running. The same way, for you to be able to remain a Christian, God does not wait for you. There are background operations that go on in your spirit that makes you able to stay in the midst of unbelievers. You are working in this office. This one is a Muslim. This one is a Buddhist. This one doesn't believe in anything. And you are just there. But your faith is secure. Those things are products of the revelation of the love of God that didn't originate with you. I want you to get this particular point because it's very significant to this study. So that the next time you think God will not accept you, I want you to know and remember that even this relationship you have with God did not start with you. It started with God saying, come my child. It started with God saying, come my daughter, come my son. It started, so you can, if you are living in sin or struggling with sin, keep running towards your father. Don't try to, some people want to justify the fact that, they know that they are in sin, they deserve to suffer, they want to feel bad. Listen to me, the devil will catch up with you there. Because after Chike, Michael is coming. Have you ever been in a situation in 1 week, everybody just starts remembering you? Ooh, who knows what I'm talking about? It's like they call themselves. Michael will send message. All of them will just see your status. They'll just start calling. Ah, it's been a while. Let's connect. Let's like in 1 week. Hey, you that really looks for charger. You are not looking for charger in the house to charge your phone because Michael and Chike and Dunsin and Charles, everybody is just, you just see the chat lining up. And what is the direct implication of all those messages? You will notice you start praying less. Come on now. You start praying less. Say, let me not go to church today. We don't know what pastor will say. Or let me sit at the back. So when the arrows start flying, I'll just. But I am a messenger of God's love to you. Amen. So anything I tell you is because most likely I've faced it or I'm facing it. But together we can hold each other's hands and walk to the end of the road. Hallelujah. So God loves us, and our love for him is first of all hinged on the fact that that love originated from him. Praise the Lord. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2, the scripture says, though I have the gift of prophecy, 1 Corinthians 13, 2, and I understand all mysteries, and I have all knowledge. Have you ever been to any conference? Please put up, just leave the scripture here. Have you ever been to any conference where they invited a man of God because of his love? I don't know. I've never been to such. Most times we invite men of God based on their knowledge. Do you agree? Oh, he says, my friend, he has 9 masters, 4 PhDs, is this, is that, so that you people can respect him. Even if you don't respect me, respect this one. Eh? Do you understand what I'm saying? We try to push their pedigree, their relevance. We push it out there so that people can know that, look, your pastor is connected to very powerful people. So even if you don't respect me, people respect me. And then the man of God too will come up and say, I salute this general. And then we do all those things for each other. But how many people have you ever heard the pastor say, I invited this man of God here today because of his love life. He has a love relationship with God that is beautiful that I've seen. And I just feel, and well, I feel this is what we need in this hour. He's the man of the hour. Hallelujah. I didn't talk to you about his certificate. I didn't talk to you about which country he's coming from. He just got back from a crusade in Brazil. I just said he has a love work and he's from Oyo Town. When I saw Oyo Town, I say, and the man comes up, instead of saying, hallelujah, God bless you, say, Jackie Agbadura. He said, today is going to be a long and bumpy ride. Daddy, please. No, not everybody here speaks Yoruba. So he said, no problem. But he will still preach 1 hour in Yoruba. He said, Pastor is wicked. Eh? Me that I brought my friend today, that I say, if you see my pastor, he's good. Hey! And then I will come up after I service and say, oh, were you blessed? Hallelujah. Were you blessed? You are forced to say you are blessed. Even though your mind like, ah, Pastor, today is supposed to be wisdom and wealth. But look at what the scripture says. Give me that scripture. It says, even though if I understand all mysteries. Do you know what that means? That you are like a Daniel. Do you know what happens to people who understand mysteries? They sit with kings. And those are the kind of people we like to associate with. Huh? Even if you don't like a man, he says it's very short. But when you know he's a man of mysteries, you say, well, it's not about the height, you know. Even though people are not really sincere, when they talk about height, it's not really the height. There's something else in their mind. Hey, people are not sincere. Okay, is it my fault that I'm not tall? Hey, you should be talking to my parents, not me. So now if I marry a tall woman, I'm able to cancel the error. You know, you understand? If at all it's an error, now you refuse to marry me. So what do we do? That means my own children too will continue that. But you see, this matter of mystery is very important too. You come to a meeting and say, hallelujah. Tonight is going to be a night of impact. Amen. Behold, I show you a mystery. Hallelujah. Huh? Say, even though if I have all mysteries, look at it. Say, even though I have all mysteries and I have all knowledge. Oh my God. IT, education, professional certification, master's, PhD. I have all knowledge. Reading educational journals, medical journal, and all of that. I have all knowledge. You know what it means? A knowledgeable man will stand before kings. He will stand before kings because he knows a lot of things. He said, even if I have all faith. The pastor, we have been praying for this man. He's been mad for 9 years. Say, what is that? Very easy. Very easy. Bring him here. Power. Take it. Where am I? Where am I? Say, that's it. Jesus. Glory to God. Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Pastor, we've been praying for 3 weeks. Fasting and prayer. The prayer warriors, they have not gone home. We've been praying, praying. Faith. Have faith. So what did we have that we'll be here for 3 weeks? What did we have? You say we should have faith. Even our pastor and his wife, they've been here. They didn't go. What did they have? You say we should have faith. The Bible says, even if I have all faith. All faith. That is a very significant thing, you know, because our Lord Jesus told us that even if my faith is so small, like what? A mustard seed. He said that faith has the capacity to lift mountains and evacuate them. You see, some of those problems you have, they are not even as big as a mountain. Which means the faith requirement is even smaller than a mustard seed. Baby faith. Baby faith. But look at what Jesus said. That it is even possible for you to have what? All faith. Oh, why are you not married? I'm not worried. God is bringing my husband. You take the pressure from yourself. Push it to God. Don't let people talk you into depression. Why is your business crumbling? Take that pressure. Push it to God. If truly you believe, why are you sick? He has taken all my infirmities. Take the pressure. Push it to God. But do you know, Jesus, the scripture says, even if I have all faith, that means that I have gone beyond the level of believing. I've come into the realm of manifestation. Give me that scripture. It says, even though I have all faith, so that I can what? Remove. Can you see the word remove? Not just move. Oh. Move is from point A to B. Remove is what? You extract and relocate. Oh my God. Remove mountains. And I have not love. God says before me, you are nothing. I can't do much with you. The greatest power of the heavens is the love of God in the heart of a man. The greatest power of the heavens is the love of God in the heart of a believer, of his believer. When everything you do is now modulated and controlled, not by what your normal response should be, but by what? By the love of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want you to declare the love of God is stirred up in my heart, is guiding my decisions, and leading me in the way of righteousness. In Jesus' mighty name. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. Above all things, have fervent charity. Among what? Among what? You see, the emphasis on the word fervent. There's one other area where the word fervent comes up. The word fervent is also similar to the word earnestly. Huh? Elijah prayed fervently, earnestly, that it might not rain. The earnest of the spirit, fervency, the passion. Give me that scripture. It says, above all things, come on, say all things. In a local church, this is what God wants to see. More than the anointing. That it will be spiritual maturity of anybody, any Christian in this church, to judge the spiritual weight of a message that is preached based on power. that we must grow as Christians to judge every message that comes from the pulpit and our response to it based on what? The love of God. A message is not powerful because it moved everybody. A message is powerful because it was administered in the love of God. So that we can take away comparison from amongst us. Oh, I love the way Pastor David preaches. He preaches more than Pastor Gwinga. That's what created a problem for David in the Bible. Saul has killed his thousands, and David has killed what? 10,000s. That's the day his family problem started. He did not sleep at home again for years. So if you are in a office where people praise you, I like your presentation skills. You know, anytime our boss presents, it's very boring. You took the same material and you gave life to it. Wow. You are really going to make a fantastic speaker in the future. Do you have interest in public speaking, motivational? No. Just remember that your father, David, after killing Goliath, meanwhile, Saul could not kill Goliath. But he had what it took to kill David. So be careful. Those people you think they don't have what it takes, they have a joker. They have a small blade, a small dagger that can take out the giant killers. So be careful. Don't let anybody give you the impression you are better than your boss. You see, that person is your boss for a reason, and it has nothing to do with what you know or how you speak. You say, have fervent charity amongst what? Yourselves. How God wants us to love each other because of the way he loves. You know, I said to us that the love of God in the life of a believer starts from God, not us. So now God says, love yourselves fervently. So that means I will not take advantage of you if you live in my house because we are alone in the house, simply because I am obeying the word of God. I will not take advantage of my sister, Christian sister, who stays with me. Because Jesus said, have fervent love amongst yourself. So what will love do? It will protect her. You don't love because the person is loving you back. You love because you are a child of God. And God is giving you the grace to love everybody. Is there anybody in your office you like? Talk to me now. Some of you, you've never really had any good boss in your life. All your supervisors, they always have K-leg. There's something about, have you ever had a friend who became your boss? He now became crazy. Oh, some of you may not have gotten to that point. You are all cool. Or you used to hang out, eat together. They made him the team lead. Say, Wale. You say, Mr. Wale. Point of correction. Mr. Wale. Say, Wale. Or you say, Wale, but his official designation is head of operations. So in a meeting, you are like, okay, so Wale, why can't we do it this way? The way we look at you. This guy, does he understand? Umani problem. If this guy is going to have a problem here, you don't understand spiritual authority. You don't understand spiritual authority. You are both in the choir. Before he was ordained as a pastor. Then suddenly, say, Dave, don't look at you. He's somewhere in his mind, like, you know, everybody just think Pastor Dave doesn't get angry. They're like, oh my, ye, these children. Anyway, it's where. Somebody corrected my brother. They used to be cool, though. They now appointed him as a deacon in church. My brother now said, Fidelis. Say, Deacon Fidelis. Those things are okay. We'll call you. You understand? They say, Deacon. Man, Deacon. You are my. It's okay. But I hope you. No sweat. I'm cool with you. But what Jesus said we should do is to have fervent love, not title. Those titles are good. You understand? They are good. But you see, something is wrong with your heart. That's why you are seeing him still relating to you the way he used to relate and used to go out and eat. Like, he doesn't recognize me as head of operations. No, the fact that you have your friend in your team to make your work easy. You just call that, Baba, this thing, we'll share the work. We do it together. You know, approach is everything. Just go to one meeting, say, Wale. Wale. And you are the only one in the office calling him Wale. The way you stress the name is a problem. It's going to be a problem for you. Saul has killed his thousands. But David, they came out with drums. So he just called his boys. Put an arrow, target an arrow at him. That boy must die. You kill Goliath, I kill you. Because what Saul would have expected is that what your king refused to touch, you too hide. Say, I've killed lions, I keep bear, I have many powers. Any power that is not, there is more than one, is not of God. Your power is not of Jesus Christ. Any other thing is not of God. You don't know anything. Any power that is more than one is a say. Where was I? Oh God. I have many powers. I'm the lion. Go and live in the jungle now. Why are you here? So not only so give God have mercy. Ephesians 5:25-26. Ephesians 5. Let's wrap this up. Now, I want to trickle this down. You know, this is the year of our flourishing. And till the end of this year, I'm going to be touching down on some critical areas. We're going to be addressing family matters, business matters as Christians, career matters. We are going to go very deep into the seven mountains. Because I want your flourishing to cover every aspect of your life. Not just your spiritual life, every area of your life. Give me Ephesians 5. Look at this. It says what? Husbands! Do you know why this is a command for men? There's something called see finish that men have. But they don't talk. You know, men don't talk. But when we talk about it. Please, can I just say this and move on without breaking any tables? There's something called see finish. And as long as something is not accessible to a man, it's something we pursue. The moment you get that thing, you will now make a decision if you want to stay with that thing or continue to pursue. Major your degree in that. So men, they like you. They can like you. But they can love you. But for them to continue to love you, you must have a value. A kind of value you are bringing to the table. Alright? But God is now saying, remove the value, remove whatever you have attached. But look at, do you know how wicked men are? Some of you don't know. Do you know when a man, is Pastor, we've been close. He's not saying anything. The guy is looking at your face, the shape of your face. That this one, if I feed her very well, she will become very fat. Oh God, men are very terrible people. They will not say, "Oh, look, you know." They will just tell you what you want to hear. Some women are already wise. That's why they went to the gym now. But look at what the Spirit of God says. He says, "Husband, what is the command?" Love your wives regardless of her body shape, size, educational background, because it is not easy for a man to love any person or anything of which the value has not been defined. That's what I always tell our sisters when I get to talk to you. Don't let them meet you at the same place twice. Keep developing yourself. Give me that scripture. Even as Christ what? So how did God benchmark the love with which we are supposed to love our wives? The way Jesus loves us, you know how Jesus loves you? Now, let me give you an example. This year alone, how many sins have you committed? Somebody say, yeah. Now, how many of you are not proud of your prayer life? You are not proud of it. Just wave. You are not. Now, but are you persuaded Jesus still loves you? Huh? Do you know that the kind of allowance God gives to you, you have not given it to somebody else? Because the moment you saw a person, you say, look, I don't like to deceive myself. You start speaking English. I don't take rubbish. I like to know what I'm doing. I take my life very seriously. Eh? From 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., you can't call me. I'm busy at the office. You stop bugging my line. Stop sending me WhatsApp message. If you want, you start speaking all this British English. Eh? And you, it's been like 3 months that God heard your voice around 5 a.m. last. Some people's prayer lives died because they married. So the command for us to love is an action word. It's not you telling your wife, I love you, or saying all those nice things that even people tell themselves now when there's nothing amongst them. Even among ladies, they call themselves babe. Eh? Babe. And that is your own nickname for your wife. Think about it. They've taken your wife. Eh? All the things we used to think were exclusive, people share it on social media for $1 or free. Jesus said, the first place I want you to prove the work of grace in your life is in how you take care of your family. Don't love your wife or your husband because they deserve it. Love them because of the love of Jesus that is in your heart that compels you to reach out, to forgive, to assist, to encourage, not always speaking provocative words. How did Jesus prove this love? Give us that scripture. I think it should be, the Bible said he loved the church and he did what? He gave himself for it. So that means if you have 2 cups of rice at home and you have 3 children, who will not taste inside that food? Talk to me. The husband, right? The father. Yes or yes? Usually it's the mother that doesn't eat. I hope we know that. Huh? So just when you get home, hand over the key of the house to your wife and say, from today you are the husband. If it's your wife that is fulfilling this scripture, huh? Just don't argue. Then come for training. When you pass, we will not give you the key again. Look at what Jesus said. Look at what the Spirit of God said. He said he loved the church by what? Giving himself. He was always the fall guy. I listened to a guy, on a very elderly man on Facebook. He was warning young men from spending all their money on their children. He said, some of you will come here and be posting rubbish. I am in my 70s. So if you are not as old as I am, keep quiet. I am telling you, don't spend all your money on your children. Take some of it and spend on yourself, so that you will not live a life of regret. Wow, hallelujah. That's what the guy was saying. And because I'm not as old as 70, I also kept quiet. He said, my wife is not in this house. She has not been in this house for 3 months. From Canada to England, taking care of children, they will book visa for her. She's just going every three months, going and coming. Then they will come here, daddy, how are you? Okay, do video. They will do video call. Greet your grandchildren. Say, bye-bye, daddy loves you. Say, I'm alone in this house. I cooked this morning. I'm over 70. Should I be doing this? He said, now I'm living in regret. You know, what he's saying is making sense. To those of us in Nigeria. Abi now. Uh-huh. So if you don't protect your heart, you know what will happen? The pastor of the church just said, go and open one account with Wema Bank. I don't have business with Wema Bank, but I will not open and be hiding something. Huh? Hiding something. Then once in a while, I go take myself out and order bokoto and eat what I like. Because I know that if I spend all my money on these children and their mother, the children will only remember their mother. So, you see the way of the world. And that's why in the church, we must address it. Because the inheritance is not with the mother, it's with the father. If Sarah dies, she can't transfer anything. It's Isaac that will transfer it. So we must teach our children the order of things spiritually. The reason why you are in the UK today is because I didn't go. I took the fall. I didn't spend my money anywhere. That's why you could go to the UK and live there today. So I don't need to tell you for you to know that every month when you get your salary, send something to your father. If you take care of my wife, it's good. But you see, the first order of things, you must. So instead, but if you listen to that man, your heart is not sanctified. You will just begin, by default, you start becoming crafty. So some of you, if you have parents that you send something to your dad, you now tell your mom, this one is specially for you. Some of you are guilty. You now send something. You gave them 20,000 separate, and they prayed for you. You now went to the kitchen. Mommy, this one, extra 10K. Ah, oh mommy. Ah, well, you are dagba. You will grow old. Your children will take care of you. You are sowing a dangerous seed. So Jesus said, the way I prove my love is by what? Giving myself for the church. Huh? Next verse, let's round up. Are you blessed this evening? Next verse. That he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by what? By the word of God. So how do you exercise your love in your family? By divine instructions. Every time there's a challenge, always use the word of God as the basis for your correction. Don't assume, if you want to punish your children, let them know why you are punishing them. You have contravened the law of God. Huh? You cannot throw tantrums. You cannot be rude. That is why I'm punishing you. That's why you are grounded. That's why I'm taking away your phone for the next 1 week. Let them know. And let them know that further tantrums will be met by further jail term. Right? You let them know. Because being a father is about discipline. It's not about being their friend. It's when they grow up, they can be your friend. Now it's about training. If not, they will bring shame to the family. So every time you say God is hard, you committed one sin, you'll be asking for forgiveness. Your heart is still heavy. God is training you. So that the next time, before you go back and commit that sin, you will think twice about how long it took you to be restored. The last time you committed that sin, you will remember, do you really want to go through this again? I beg, I don't do. You commit the sin. Under 2 minutes, your eyes will clear. Like, what did I do? You didn't even enjoy the sin. Now, there's money in your hand. The process of sin. Somebody gave you 100,000. But you, the origin of that money, there's shame in it. How does Jesus solve this problem? He brings his word and begins to cleanse us. Begins to cleanse us. So that over a period of time, after like 1 year, 2 years, you just look back like, Anatu, you've changed though. You yourself, you will see your change. That, before now. Sometimes we are praying, God, take away this weakness. You know, he won't do it like that. He will make the thing wear off gradually. And when it wears off, you just look back like, wow, this is the washing of water by the word. When you are trying to have your bath, is it the first water that touches your head that cleanses you? No, you have to stay there for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Some of you stay there for 1 hour. By the end of the day, you come out clean. Hallelujah. So stay there. Stay there. Let the word of God now be the motivation for living righteously. Not because you want a God-fearing man or a holy woman. Let the fear and the love of God be the motivation. Look at how far you've come with God. Is it at this junction you now want to be committing all these kind of sins? What about the one who loved you and saw hope in you and died for you and thought about you 2,000 years ago? And he said, oh, at some point or the other, Anna too will show up. The love of God is the master key to breaking away from sin. Especially sin that easily besets you. Knowing the love of God, allowing it to settle in your mind, to settle in your soul. You see, 100 principles will not change a man. But there is something about love. When love settles in your heart, it can recalibrate your response. You can go to the shopping mall and you spend 20,000. You won't even know you spent money. Why? Because of the person you are, you know, handing over that gift to. You know, you feel happy that you can buy something for this person and the person takes it from you. The person also appreciates the fact that you are giving to them. And even though it's a cost, but you don't mind. That is how Jesus sees this transaction. He doesn't mind. He says, oh, if it's for Tokwe, it's worth it. If it's for Tokwe, it's worth it. If it's for Anna too, this effort is worth it. But why are you not seeing that you are actually worth it? Because you don't have that genuine and complete understanding of how God actually loves you. If this thing enters into your heart, you will not have one unanswered prayer again. Sometimes people come to my house and my wife says, oh, pastor is sleeping or pastor is resting and I can't come out. My wife tells my children sometimes, don't go into the room. Your father is tired. But somebody will still come in and peep. Daddy, are you awake? I'm too tired to even fight. I can't even shout and say, shut that door. I just say, yes, I'm awake now. You know, everybody is restricted, but my children can come. I say my children can come. Everybody, angels, everybody will stay outside. But my children can come. When God says come boldly, it was a request, love request to you. Come. This thing you are struggling with, I'm still the one that can help you. Don't run away. Your guilty conscience can send you far away. Come, let me help you. So come boldly. It's because your father is here. Is your father going to be the governor of Lagos State and you are praying for school fees? Hey God, this year, you know, I have no one. I have no one but you. And then your father hears that prayer like, sorry, what's wrong with this girl? He says she's praying for her school fees. My children resume school this week. You know, I hope you know that you are going to read this one for me. I hope you know that they are not bothered about how their school fees will be paid. I hope you know that one. Eh? Uh-huh. So, are you going to do God's job for him? I'm asking you. Do you know that in God's love for you is your provision? I want you to sink. So that when Satan tries to tell you are not deserving of forgiveness or deserving of God's mercy, I want you to know that in God's fatherly love for you, he has made what? Provisions. Sometimes when we pay those fees, and I don't know, so maybe I have a weakness here. You just go, your tongue will become very bitter. Eh? Your tongue will become very bitter. You just go and sit down. In my own case, I'll just put on Netflix. I'll be watching Netflix. I want to forget what has happened. So I'll just, you know, because sometimes you are paying in 6-7 digits, depending on the term. So when you pay like that, and you remember that man that spoke to me on Facebook, and you're like, okay. I went to buy, where we were living before, I went to the market to buy beans and rice and some things, you know. Then I used to go to the market. So the man who was selling the thing said, is this your son? I think I went there with Joshua. He says, this is your son. I say, so what school does he go to? I mentioned the private school. Say, why are you sending him to private school? See, my children go to this government school here. Like, seriously, like, I didn't even ask for your advice. So. Like, the man was like, I have 5 children. I say, Abajo. No wonder. So the man was like, you see, you children of nowadays, you young parents, you see, which school did you go to as a child? I said, I went to a government school. He said, my children, look at Chukwueze, look at, they go to this school here. In my mind, I'm like, is this not one of the schools where they use Yoruba to teach in the class? I said, you know what? And I realized that the man will not let me go. So I started saying, wow. I said, you are making sense, sir. I said, I hear wisdom. Wow. I said, sir, you know, I want us to have this kind of conversation. He said, I try to counsel young people. he was counseling me. I should take my children to a government school in 21st century, in this day and age, where you'll be using Yoruba language to teach my child science. Since that day, I stopped buying something. Before I wake up one day. You know, the Bible talks about evil men. Evil men everywhere. Tell you not to love your wives. Tell you to have a secret wife somewhere. Tell you to send your children to government schools. Is it your money? Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. Huh? I want you to declare I'm a creature of love. God's love dwells in my heart. And I receive grace to demonstrate the love of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's just take one question, Pastor David, very quickly, and we can call it a day. Hallelujah.
Right. The question says, can we love someone only by giving? For example, a father providing the needs of the children, but not giving attention or listening to the children? Or can we love one another without giving?
No. Cannot. The word love is an action word. It's a verb, which means to the degree that you have been blessed with, you will always want to demonstrate that, and it's not always about money. Maybe if that's what the person is talking about. It's not always about money. It's about, for instance, as a father, and I'm going to come back sometime this year, very soon hopefully, and I will teach on the ministry of a father. The ministry of a father. Biological fathers. Huh? Because it's a ministry. So it's not always about money, but you give protection. Alright? Your wife, your children should feel safe knowing that you are in the environment, all right? Counsels, provision, being upfront. Don't hide your salary. There are men that only God knows this, how much they earn. Their wife doesn't know. And there are women that I know, delete, if they get an allowance from the bank where they work, they will delete it. The husband doesn't know because they believe the husband is an irresponsible idiot. They don't hide it, all right? Sometimes the husband hears from his friends in that same bank that they paid one allowance, that each of them got like 1.5 million. But the wife came home looking sad. So love is about giving. It's about understanding. Eh? It's about understanding. If you know your wife is sick, it's not the best time for you to be saying she should go and cook. Even though women are very selfless. Because they always think about, I want everybody around me to be comfortable. But it's unfair. It's actually unfair. It doesn't really make any sense. If she's doing that, you should be able to appreciate her and let her know that. And learn to say thank you after every meal. Even though you didn't grow up in the house where they say thank you. But you can learn it. Say thank you to your wife because you don't know how to cook. So any way you look at it, eh? It's about giving words, giving gifts. Huh? No matter how small, try to make sure your love is expressive. And that was what Jesus did. He gave us his life so that we can all become the children of God. You cannot love and not give. And everybody is giving something, Pastor David. You are either giving peace or war. So anybody that says he will not give is giving war. A man of war. The Lord bless you. Please, I want to encourage you, open the chambers as much as the Lord has blessed you. Try to give. Don't, any love you do not water will die. Hello? Any love you do not feed or encourage with words and gifts and all those things, it will die. It's one thing when you don't have, but when you have, please let your love flow in that direction. I want us to pray and ask that the love of God will be ministered to us afresh tonight, and we'll be able to walk in the full counsel of God, in our response to Him, and in also our love for ourselves, our brethren. If you are married, you are receiving love to share with your children, with your wife. I want you to receive the love of God for every area of your life. Love is the love of God is the most powerful weapon that has been given to the believer. I want you to receive that love. Many marital crises will disappear if we just allow God to take the lead by bringing His love to us. And I pray for every family here tonight that your homes will become heaven on earth. I pray for every family here tonight that your homes will become heaven on earth. I pray for every family tonight, including those who are joining online, that your homes will become heaven on earth. Some of you, your extended family, they are having so much crisis there. But I pray, by reason of tonight's ministration, every family represented here tonight will begin to experience heaven on earth. That amen is weak. In the name of Jesus. And everybody here will receive the grace to know how to minister love to each other. In the name of Jesus. And the Lord bless you and keep you.